Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life. The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Rolene Marks, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Shavua Tov to you and the listeners. And yes, very important news coming in that it does affect the Jewish world. We've been speaking over the last couple of weeks about social media platforms really stepping up and starting to take responsibility when it comes to hate speech. And, you know, we had the case of Zoom and then YouTube and Facebook banning Leila Khaled, the well-known terrorist. We've had people like Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam who have espoused some really, really horrible homophobic and anti-Semitic speech being kicked off platforms. There's the case of Wiley, the rapper in the United Kingdom. But now we have very, very important news coming in from Facebook. And Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg announced that they have a new policy, and this is part of their attempts to take action against what they see as conspiracy theories and misinformation. They say it's ahead of the U.S. general election, but this is really a campaign that has been led by Holocaust survivors around the world, and that is there will now be a ban on Holocaust denial or distortion. It is hugely, hugely important, especially as, you know, the years march on and we lose our survivors, we lose our witnesses to the grossest genocide that was the Holocaust. And it also gives a massive blow to the ultra-right and to the far left, who use this type of distortion to push forward hate speech. I mean, we've even seen during this time of the COVID-19 crisis around the world that, you know, comparisons have been made between COVID to the Holocaust. It's that kind of distortion. It's revisionism and it's denying it. So this has been coordinated by the Conference on Jewish Material Claims Against Germany. This is a New York-based organization that aims to get restitution for Holocaust survivors and their descendants. It's called the hashtag No Denying It campaign. And it looks like Mark Zuckerberg has listened. And what they actually did was quite clever. They posted one video per day urging him to remove Holocaust-denying groups, pages, and posts as hate speech. So this is a important win against the battle of hate speech and against fighting anti-Semitism. We've heard from the AJC, the American Jewish Committee. They've commented on it. Their head, David Harris, has said today's welcome announcement, noting AJC's role constitutes a significant victory in the battle against Holocaust denial, which, make no mistake about it, is nothing more than unvarnished anti-Semitism. Also, Yair Lapid, who is the head of the Yesh Atid party, Israel's opposition, he said Holocaust denial is an expression of the lowest strain of anti-Semitism that needs to pass from the world and the internet. So there we go. Facebook dealing out the death blow.
Hugely significant, massively important, and yet I wonder, Olin, he's been so deaf, Zuckerberg that is, so tone deaf for so long to these appeals. I do wonder why just right now, and I also wonder what flack he's going to take for it from even, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if there were some Jewish groups who value the freedom of speech more than anything else, and yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if anti-Semitism spiked again because of this. We'll have to wait
and see. I think we need to look at the argument, what is hate speech and what is the freedom of speech? And, you know, it's often said that in order to prove that something is hate speech, it has to lead to an act of violence or intention to commit violence against a certain individual or a specific ethnic group or group of individuals. And with the rise of anti-Semitism at astronomic levels, the way that we've seen it around the world, and hardly a day goes by where we aren't seeing some kind of violence committed against Jews, whether it's couched in anti-Zionism, you know, anti-Israelism, or whether it's blatant Holocaust denial and hate speech. And here it's very, very clear that this is hate speech. Action needs to be taken. And I think that social media platforms, Zoom, YouTube, Facebook and TikTok as well are starting to wake up that, you know, this does have consequences, sometimes deathly consequences. And also, you know, the Jews of today are not going to be quiet. When it comes to these issues, we're going to use whatever voices we have. And in this case, there are no more powerful voices than Holocaust survivors. And I'm glad that their voices have been heard and that action has been taken.
100%. And Rolene, you said it there. The connection is unmistakable. I mean, it does present a clear and present danger. One thinks of Jersey City. One thinks of Poway. The connection is there and it's undeniable. So yeah, brilliant decision by Facebook. I'm ecstatic about it. What's also going to make me very happy is to hear that the Abraham Accords have been voted on in the Knesset. Has that vote actually happened?
That vote has happened, and I can hear everybody saying, why does it have to go through the Knesset, you know, if it's already been signed? Well, it does have to be ratified by the government of Israel. And believe it or not, I mean, I just think, Simon, that this is historical just because they all agreed on something. It was voted in unanimously today. And really? When we get the opportunity, the leader of the UAE and Prime Minister Netanyahu will meet in person to discuss how we are moving together, you know, forward in this new partnership of peace. And there will be a delegation of Israelis and Americans going to Bahrain shortly to also work on the coordination and the MOUs that need to be signed with regards to that deal as well. So very, very positive things. I was very happy to see a caucus of female business leaders from Israel and the Emirates meeting in Dubai over the weekend or just before the Chagim to talk about business opportunities. I'm so happy to see that this has been led by women, something truly, truly remarkable. And also good news coming in is that Israel's defense industry have been invited to, I want to use the word display, but I know it's exhibit, that's the word, my English is going, at the Expo on Defense that will take place in Abu Dhabi next year. But also very interesting is language that we are starting to hear from Europe and other Arab states. Saudi Arabia, now including Qatar, Egypt, Jordan, France, Germany, Britain, are some of the countries starting to put the pressure onto the Palestinian Authority that it is time to sit and hold direct negotiations with Israel. I think that frustration is mounting. People's patience, or certainly the world's patience, most certainly Saudi Arabia's patience, are starting to wear very, very thin with regards to the Palestinians and their reluctancy to start negotiating. I know that this is a big disappointment to Mark Ruffalo and Roger Waters that, you know, we advocate, you know, talking. But a turn of phrase was mentioned by a Saudi journalist over the weekend, which I found like quite interesting. Yeah, he accused the Palestinian leadership of committing financial terrorism against Arab countries by not using the money that they have received from the Arab world responsibly for their citizen. I thought that was quite an extraordinary turn of phrase, and quite surprised that kind of went under the radar. But our reader, Khaled Abu Tourneh, who's one of the most respected and eminent Arab journalists in the Middle East, and he's written a very good article about the frustration now that the Saudis in particular are facing or are having with the Palestinians, and specifically used that quote.
Rolene, we mustn't get lost in the euphoria, though, and think that there isn't still hard work to be done. I think it was today a story in the Times of Israel. It's disappeared off the front page, but there was an article that apparently the Arab streets, all social media posts were examined, and I think 80% of them coming out of the Arab world were actually quite negative. Not those coming out of the UAE, not those coming out of Bahrain. What I'm saying is, though, there's a lot of work still to be done, and we mustn't be fooled by the fact that, you know,
there is a lot of work still to be done, but I think we also have to look at the UAE and the type of culture within their community as opposed to somewhere like Lebanon or Qatar or other places. And I agree with you. It's not all kumbaya and let's braid each other's hair while we sit at the campfire. Yeah, exactly. There is a lot of work to be done. And the one thing that we do see that's very, very cohesive coming from the UAE and from Bahrain is that whatever is decided in government is very much filtering through to the media. If you read publications like Al Arabiya English, you don't have to read the Arabic, but if you do, then Gay Gesundheit, or Al Khaliji Times, and even Al Shark Al Awsat, which is Saudi owned, you will see a different tone coming through in the media. So there's something very cohesive there happening. Social media, we also know that some leaders need the street, and social media is ripe for this kind of interaction and this kind of churning up the street as well.
Well, Ian Marks, you won't believe it, but we got to 5:30 without even touching on one third of the things we wanted to touch on this afternoon. But that's how it is with Israel. Things are very fluid and one goes with the flow.
Absolutely. Anachnu zomim. What can we say?
Zomim. We are flowing. We are flowing indeed. I hope you flow back tomorrow. Same time, same place.
Absolutely. You got that right.
Thank you, Rolene. Yeah.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.